Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Let's get the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio going. Real quick, though, I want to apologize for anybody who was looking for us yesterday. For some reason, couldn't sign on. Three different devices, and all I kept coming up with was bad gateway when I tried to sign in. So we'll today, obviously, off to a better start. We're signed in. The music played, and I think I brought Schomburg Stew in, but we'll find out in a minute here, as always. Good old Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and like I mentioned, it's Friday, so
start spreading the news.
I hope Schomburg Stu is here. Stu, are you there?
I'm in the house. And did you get the 504?
Yeah. So
that happens. That happens sometimes.
Yeah. It did work for me, so we're off and running. But if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there hopefully sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, I am out there on Twitter at Burke Time, but we still don't have Stu on Twitter yet. And actually, today that's probably a good thing because it is National Selfie Day, and you just know Stu would have been putting up selfie after selfie after selfie. So maybe we caught a break today that he's not on Twitter. So
yeah,
we'll
you don't want to see my selfies, that's for sure.
So, but all right, well, I want to run at you here with something that's a little, what I would say, off topic from where we normally go, but I thought this is an interesting conversation. You know, I'm gonna take you to Connecticut, where we have a high school track meet where the top six finishers advanced to, I believe it was the state final. And there was a girl who finished eighth. She was sixth among the women, but eighth overall because the top two finishers in the race were two transgender, I guess you call them men or boys, that, you know, associate with being women. So now there's been a lawsuit filed on her behalf and a couple of the other participants in the race. I know the one girl's name is Selena. I don't know the other girls, and some of them asked for anonymity in fear of retaliation. You know, like, I have no problem, you know, you're gay, you're straight, you identify with as a man or a woman, whatever you identify with as. But I got to tell you, I think it's a little unfair in this situation because basically you have two people who identify as women but are in men's bodies going up against women in an event that really favors men. I mean, it was a sprint, and you can see, I mean, the men's world record is faster than the women. It's nothing against the women. You know, there are some incredible female track athletes. But, you know, the men's time are just a little faster. They're just a little bit better. And, again, I don't have a problem. They can associate with us whatever they want. But I don't think it's fair that they compete against the women. Now, where are you on this?
I have to agree with you. It doesn't seem fair. As you pointed out, they're stronger than the women. They have an advantage, although they're, I don't know, men in a woman's body, I'm not sure. But that's a very complex issue. But I certainly think that the lawsuit would have some kind of justification as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't want to get into the social aspect of it. I'm not, you know, interested in that. Like I said, you can be whatever you want to be. It's America. That's why we're here. You know, you want to be these things, that's fine. But yeah, it just seems incredibly unfair. You know, and I mean, okay, great, you're a track athlete, but you're really not a, you know, you're not a full female track athlete. You know, you're still in a man's body, which gives you a gigantic advantage. And I you know, again, like I said, I don't think it's fair, and I hope, you know, I don't know if we have enough transgender people out there to where they can have their own races or anything like that. I mean, I know that could be kind of difficult, but there, you know, there's got to be a way to work this out where it's just more fair, because this definitely is not.
So. Maybe they should, in terms of fairness, maybe they should let the top eight advance, and because of the first two finishing the race are transgenders. That would seem to me the fair and equitable solution. So you let eight in rather than the six.
Yeah, you know, then I guess my other question is, who the hell's going to beat these people? You know, they're going to run, you know, in the finals. I would assume they'll probably just, you know, it'll be these two and then everybody else fighting for third place. That just doesn't really seem fair.
No, it doesn't. And think back, though. Think back in the before the transgender term was as well known as it is now. There have been a lot of women athletes with male tendencies that have competed successfully over the years. Now, were they were really females, but they had some kind of a physical advantage over the other women competitors. And I can think of a handful, like for example, the famous golfer, Babe Zaharias. She was very, very stocky and strong, much stronger than the average female. Did she have some tendencies that we don't know about now? I don't know. How would you justify it? How would you compare it to that situation that took place now?
Well, you know, and then for, you know, many, many, many years, there were always questions about the Russian female athletes. But I believe that was more of a drug issue than so much a, you know, this is a man who is identifying as a woman. So, but yeah, there's always been questions like that. I believe there is a runner from one of the African countries who's going through an issue like this because of her testosterone level, but I believe she was actually born a woman. I'm not quite sure. I would have to look in, and I can't remember her name, but I remember issues coming up about that after she had won a race or two. So, you know, it's always been kind of a thing, but I think this is a little, you know, a little different because, you know, like you mentioned, Babe Zaharias, I believe she was actually born a woman, though. You know, these two men were born men and decided that they just identified as female.
And even though they're identified as females, they still have the male characteristics, which means a stronger body than the average female has.
Right. Yeah, you know, they haven't went through gender reassignment or anything. And, I mean, honestly, I don't know if that's something they're ever planning to do. I mean, again, that's part of the issue I have zero interest in, and I don't want to get into it because that's a whole nother debate. You know, all I'm looking for is I just don't believe this is fair to the, you know, the other females who are out there, you know, killing themselves, trying to, you know, putting the work in, trying to be fast, trying to run good times when, you know, this just kind of favors, you know, a man. And, you know, I know this doesn't work all the time. If you remember Renee Richards, the male tennis player who had a sex change, played on the female tour, but never really had a ton of success. So, you know, it doesn't always work, but in this case, it worked out for these guys.
Yeah. And it is a complex issue, and I certainly think that there is some justification for the last two participants, the 7-8 participants, complaining about the way things went down. It doesn't seem quite fair to me.
Yeah, that's – That's kind of how I was there. So at least we're in agreement on that. We'll have to see if anything comes out about it, then
yeah,
we'll see. But that's
good to remember that about the Renee Richard. I was thinking about her, and didn't she become a doctor eventually? I think that
Yeah, I don't know what kind of doctor, but I believe she did end up being being some kind of doctor. So, but all right, well, you know, we had the NBA draft last night, and I got to tell you, I thought it was kind of laughable after the Pelicans made the first pick. Every website, blogger, whatever you want to call them, actually went online onto their accounts and posted it as breaking news that Zion Williamson was the number one pick in the draft. So I, of course, tweeted out, is it really breaking news that this guy's the number one pick? We've only known it since, August of last year that this guy was going number one to whoever had it. I don't think this qualifies as breaking news. Did you see it as breaking news? Were you shocked that he went number one?
I would have been shocked if he had gone as number two. Maybe then I would have been shocked, but certainly not number. Certainly not. Everybody in the entire universe knew that he would be selected number one. So why this is important? Official breaking news? I don't know.
Yeah, I just thought it was the stupidest thing. I'm like, really? This is what you consider breaking news? But yeah, I just thought it was kind of laughable. And the draft went pretty much as people expected. The top three were Williamson. Ja Morant went second to Memphis. Then R.J. Barrett went third to the Knicks. After that, it was just kind of a crapshoot. We ended up with DeAndre Hunter at four, Darius Garland at five, Jarrett Culver at six. And then our Bulls rolled in, Stu, and they decided they needed a shooting guard. They selected Colby White from North Carolina. So they do not get the game changer they needed because they didn't get up high enough in the lottery. I keep hearing good things about White, but it's the draft and everybody's going to say good things about everybody until we see him play. All I can tell you is I think the Bulls end up back in the lottery. Where do you have them going?
Back in the lottery. Nothing about it. Now, this kid's a good ball player, but I don't think he's going to address what the Bulls are looking for in terms of a guard. Maybe down the road when he gets a little training going in the NBA, maybe he'll be a pretty decent player. But for now, I don't think the type of player he is really is going to help the Bulls all that much.
No, and then I got to tell you, I was hugely disappointed. You know, they had their next pick at 38. And, you know, I was kind of like, oh, okay, cool. You know, Bol Bol from Oregon was still out there. He's Manute Bol's son. You know, he was a really good quality player in college. There was a knock on him at apparently the combine or somewhere that he lacked hustle, you know, things like that. So he was supposed to be a first rounder. He was supposed to be a lottery pick. He's sitting there at 38, and the Bulls pass on him. Just what a bad team does. This is what bad teams do, people. This is why the Bulls stink. They did go with a center, but they went with Daniel Gafford out of Arkansas, who I have no idea, no jack nothing about. Maybe he'll be a good player.
Right.
Bull ended up sitting around till 44, where the Denver Nuggets jumped in on a deal and swooped, you know, grabbed him up. I think they missed a gigantic chance to add a big impact player. And I don't, you know, this front office is one of the worst in the NBA. I don't know why John Paxson and Gar Forman still have jobs, but this is embarrassing. I mean, if you're going to take a center, take the best one out there.
And the fact that he went so far down in the draft, though, does lead me to suspect that there are certain things about him that we don't know about. Maybe, like you said, the lack of hustle, because how could he possibly go that far down in the draft before he's finally selected?
Yeah. So that, you know, that was an odd situation. Then, you know, it made it worse. You know, they invited him to the draft, you know, because he was supposed to be a first-round pick. So they invite those guys, and they sit him out on tables and stuff. And, yeah, he just continued to fall and continued to fall. And, you know, the poor guy had to sit there till 44. I think he was the last one of all the people invited to actually get drafted.
Well, I hope he proves the so-called experts are wrong this time. I hope he has a great career with Denver.
Yeah, you know, I mean, again, if it's just a hustle thing, I can't see why a professional coach can't change that. I don't know what any type of, you know, issues really are with him, but, we'll see how it goes, and, you know, it will be an interesting, thing to keep an eye on, because you don't, you know, while you see guys fall, you don't normally see guys who are supposed to be lottery picks, drop down to the deal.
Well, the Bulls certainly weren't the only team that they, this guy could have gone in the top 15, top 20, and didn't, and that does set off some alarm bells, though, for sure. There had to be a reason for it. Yes, it's just a lack of hustle, or is there something else that we don't know about?
Yeah, you know, and I mean, they never let out the entire thing on how it was, but I hunted down Daniel Gafford's stats. He played in 32 games and started them all for Arkansas last year, scored 16.9 points per game, and ended up grabbing 8.7 rebounds. He did average 2 block shots per game last year, so maybe he'll provide a little defense, which we know doesn't mean diddly squat in the NBA, but
no.
Hopefully it'll work out. But yeah, I whatever the knock was or however it was going, I would have rather seen them take a gamble on Bol Bol than, you know, go with this guy who just, you know, I mean, he looks like a fair to Midland player, and, you know, he'll just be coming off the bench. So
yeah. And why not take a chance, though? I understand the Bulls' mentality, and I'm not sure. Will they win 30 games next year? You think that's, a stretch?
No. Yeah,
not
they're not going to. Yeah. No, they'll be lucky if they're a 20-win team with the, what they've got put together here. I mean, I don't know if White can score in the NBA as a shooting guard. So it'll be interesting to see if he did this. And this Gafford as a rookie will be no help. Wendell Carter Jr. didn't really add anything last year. I know he got injured. So
right.
It's just going to be a, you know, it's just going to be a long suffering, you know, hope we land at the top of the draft next year kind of deal for the Bulls.
If the Bulls wind up healthy next year and wind up winning 20 games again, what kind of excuse will they have this time? They can't use the injury excuse. What excuse will they give? We're still rebuilding.
Yeah, which is really, you know, what they are. I mean, it's clear they missed out. Like, Zach LaVine is a good player, but he's not a franchise player. He's not the guy you build your franchise around. But he's a very good player. So, you know, that helps out. You know, they seem to be unhappy with Chris Dunn. I know they were trying to move him and the 7 pick to move up in the draft. So, it doesn't look like there's going to be much of a future there for him.
I'd be surprised if he starts the season with the Bulls.
Yeah. If Markkanen can stay healthy, he looks like a very good player, but again, I don't think he's a number one. I could see him being a number two, but I don't think he's that all in all, hey, I'm going to lead this team to wherever it's going to go. I don't see him being that guy. So it'll be interesting. I will be interested to see if they hang on to Otto Porter Jr. or if they try to deal him, because I know he's got a big cap hit on his number. but, you know, maybe he's a guy that could do a little something with him, and, you know, maybe he could be a 20-point scorer finally in his career.
If he stays healthy, I think he could probably do that.
Yeah.
But there's just so many things, so many problems with the team, so many things lacking that, as talented as he might be, I don't think he's going to be the solution to any long-term solution for them to finally make their way out of the wilderness and become a 500 team again.
But yeah, so I thought that was kind of just kind of sad on their part. You know, there were some other interesting picks. You know, the Suns went back to 11, and they took a player by the name of Cameron Johnson, who was quite injured in college, played at North Carolina. But, you know, if he's healthy, he could be interesting at number 11. You know, they did have the first Japanese first-round player, Ryu. I'm going to guess this is Hachimura from Gonzaga, went 9. So, you know, there were some interesting guys. You know, I know the Pelicans added this guard, it's Nickeil Alexander-Walker from Virginia Tech that everybody really thinks could be a sleeper. So, you know, I mean, there are guys to watch and things to figure out, but I don't know Diddley's squad except about really the first three or four guys and, you know, some of the other names. I remember Jared Culver having a fantastic NCAA tournament for Texas Tech, but other than that, I couldn't tell you much else about him.
Yeah, I'm afraid it's going to be another dull NBA season again, cropping up. Looking forward to that, Matt.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll move into, you know, free agency, and you know, see who, you know, who ends up where. You know, it'll be interesting to see how teams handle the Kevin Durant situation because, you know, he will not play next year. But there apparently are teams that are still willing to give him big money and let him rehab on their dime. So that, you know, that could be interesting. You know, I heard a report today that Kawhi Leonard has 3 meetings set up. It's the Nets, the Clippers, and I forgot the third team. So, you know, maybe he's not going to end up sticking around in Toronto, which would be really too bad for them after – you know, after the year they had, but,
right.
You know, this is how free agency goes.
I suppose I'm not unique in thinking this, but do you think the Kevin Durant injury, which is going to cause him to miss next season, was caused in any way because of his calf problem?
No. No, because if you think about it, you know, you're looking at a guy like Durant who has all this on the line. He's set up to be, you know, just be the franchise guy, whatever he decides to do, he's going to cash in all this money. You can't tell me he didn't have multiple doctors look at him and give him the okay to play. You know, if there would have even been a 5% chance that he would have gotten hurt, I don't think he plays. You know, there's just no way you risk that.
Yeah, that's too bad that it happened the way it did. And now, will he be paid by, well, he's a free agent, so I'm not sure if anybody's going to pay him for next season unless they sign him in anticipation of him becoming healthy again after the next season is over with.
Yeah, well, oddly, he actually has an option year with the Warriors, you know, that all the reports were he was going to turn down and go into free agency. He can actually exercise that option now and make, I think it's $30 or $31 million to be injured. So, I don't know if that's, you know, something he will do. I guess if the offers aren't there, that would be his best move.
If he does accept that offer and gets paid the $31 million, does that mean he's going to come back to Golden State the following season?
Well, no, that's the last year of his contract. You know, he's got the option year for next year. That's it. So he would, you know, they would have to re-sign him. And, you know, maybe that's something they could work out, you know, restructure the contract or defer some money, you know, like the way they do. I don't know how the NBA salary cap works compared to the NFL, but I know a lot of NFL teams do that. So, but yeah, it's going to be an interesting risk if a team decides to go, you know, 5 or 7 or whatever, because this is a, you know, a lot of guys don't come all the way back from this injury. Of course, Durant is a little different animal than the other guys who have had this injury. So we'll have to see how it works for him.
That can be a risky decision by any team who chooses to say that he's going to come back healthy after the next season.
Well, yeah, I mean, just imagine the fallout if, you know, you sign him for 5 years at, say, you know, $200 million or something. He's getting $40 million a year. The first year is already a write-off, so you got him for 4 years. If he's not healthy and he can't come back, you know, even though the salary cap continues to go up because of that TV money, you're still going to be strapped sitting on a gigantic sum of cash that you're not getting your money's worth. Ask the Washington Wizards about John Wall's contract, which makes, I think,
yeah,
35 or 38 million next season that they can't get out from under.
No. And look at it from this point of view. If he comes back healthy, there's nothing to say he's going to be the same player as he was before. He could still be healthy, but he could have lost a step or two. He may not have
right.
the same skill level that he did before that injury.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I know Warrior fans don't want to hear it, but with the Durant injury and the Klay Thompson injury, the entire NBA landscape changed. You know, while I still think they'll probably end up in the playoffs, I don't believe they have another trip to the NBA Finals in them, unless when Klay Thompson does come back, he is about 200%.
Yeah, so. Who are you looking to take over next season? Houston, maybe?
Well, you know, they have their own problems as well. I don't know if you've heard this report, but apparently James Harden and Chris Paul can't get along. So, you know, that's always an interesting dynamic. You wonder if maybe with another year under their belt, you know, the Nuggets make a move. You know, they were very good last year, but they didn't have a ton of playoff experience. They picked some of that up. You know, maybe that helps. I believe the Lakers are a playoff team. I don't know what they're going to add, but I believe they're a playoff team. And you got to remember, when it comes to the playoffs, the NBA wants to see the Lakers do good. So anytime they're in, there's always a chance that they're going to continue to move forward, because this is what the NBA and television wants. You know, and I'm not saying it's totally fixed. They just have ways to kind of manipulate things, just like the Lakers magically moving up to number 4 when they had very little chance to move up at all. You know, this is how the NBA does things. So, you know, I assume they'll be there. You know, Portland was a bit of a surprise, but it does open up the West to where it should be a little more interesting, and it's not just Golden State and, you know, the rest of the Mouseketeers.
Yeah, and let's assume that you're right, that the Lakers make the playoffs. Do you see them anything more than a 6th or 7th seed?
No, I don't expect that, because I'm under the impression that after Toronto winning the title, teams are going to rest their stars an average of 20 to 25 games a season. You know, because Kawhi Leonard sat out, I think it was about 20 games, just for rest purposes, no injury, no nothing else, strictly for rest to get ready for the playoffs. You know, I believe we'll see LeBron James and Anthony Davis sit out 20 to 25 games. With the way that roster is constructed, I won't be surprised if they lose 18 of those 20 games, because there's just not going to be a lot on that roster besides Kyle Kuzma, unless they can get some veterans to come in on really dirt cheap deals.
Doesn't the NBA have some kind of a rule against the teams sitting out their star players just for rest purposes?
They do, but they only invoke it for nationally televised games, because obviously, you know, the Mickey Mouse networks and the TNT, or when the games are over on ABC, you want those star power guys in the game. I remember the Spurs got fined big time. They sat Tim Duncan, I think it was Tony Parker, and Mono Ginobili a few years ago in a game that was on national TV, and the league went ape crazy, and you know, I think they tried to fine him the maximum or something. I don't remember what it was. But, you know, when you're just on your local television network and you're not national, you can pretty much do and sit whatever you want. And you damn well know that the league isn't coming down on the Lakers. I mean, they basically tampered with Davis as much as they possibly could, and there was no punishment.
No, it's true. Yeah, that's interesting that they can fine him, but only if the game is nationally televised.
So, yeah, I just kind of, you know, unless they put something else in the CBA, I don't know how it works out. But with as player-friendly as the NBA is, none of that is going to happen. I mean, you know, if they're not going to crack down on Davis's agent who came out and said, oh, yeah, anybody can trade for him, but he's only going to be here 1 year until he signs with the Lakers, and just completely torpedoed New Orleans' chance of making any deal, and the league did nothing to that, then, well, you know, what are they going to do to anybody sitting guys out, you know?
Yeah, exactly. The league is based upon the star power, I guess, and they want to get these guys in as much as they can, and they want to keep them where they are, or else trade them to a contender that will boost their ratings somehow.
Right, and the ratings sucked this year. The ratings were down across the board, you know, for the playoffs, for the regular season. So they've got to do something and find a way to pump it up. Obviously, you know, Zion Williamson pumps some life into the ratings. Davis going to the Lakers will do that. Depending on where Kawhi signs, you know, that may help ratings. So, you know, with all the money these networks are getting, you know, or paying to televise these games, especially the Mickey Mouse Network, remember, they paid so much to televise the NBA games that they had to do mass layoffs. So, you know, it just one of those things that you got to get the ratings now.
Yeah, and unfortunately for them, the ratings went in the tank this season for the NBA.
You know, it's akin to, you know, Fox Sports Network taking over SmackDown and kind of demanding WWE who they want to see on that show so people will tune in to watch. You know, they wanted the Brock Lesnars. They wanted the Ronda Rouseys while she was still with the company. You know, they're looking for those names that people from other sports will tune in to see. So, you know, and in this case, obviously, you know, when you hear Anthony Davis with LeBron James and the Lakers, that's something the casual fan is going to turn on, even, you know, if you're just a fan of, say, the Utah Jazz. You're going to want to see what this team looks like because you're going to play them.
How far in advance do they plan the schedule for nationally televised games, the NBA? Because I'm sure the Lakers are going to be involved with several games next season.
Yeah, I don't know the NBA schedule release, but when they release the schedule, they know what the nationally televised games are. So whatever the schedule release date is when we'll find out. Like, I mean, I can guarantee you, you know, they do four games on Christmas Day. I guarantee you the Lakers are in one of them.
No doubt.
You know, the Lakers will be in one. The Pelicans will be in one. I assume they'll still have the Warriors in one. You know, then the other one could, you know, maybe they'll go with the Thunder to get Russell Westbrook out there, who's an exciting player, or the Rockets, you know, or maybe it'll be some combination of these teams playing each other. But, yeah, I guarantee you we'll see James and Davis and Zion Williamson on Christmas Day this year.
You know, talking about Williamson, by the way, I was amused to see that after he was selected, he's already involved in a $100,000 lawsuit.
Yeah, so yeah, I didn't look into it, but I know it's basically one company suing another because they believe they own his rights or something.
It's not a good way to start out, but that's probably going to be chump change for him anyway. So I don't think he's going to worry too much about it.
Yeah, you know, and a thing like that is, you know, really out of his control. You know, that's whatever his agent or his business people did that this is the problem. Now it's probably not even something he did.
No,
so, but yeah, so that's why it comes up. But yeah, you figure $100,000, he probably made what, 3 or 4 times that at Duke last year? I mean, oops, wait, I didn't say that out loud, did I?
Don't tell that to the Duke supporters, and there aren't very many of them, of course. They're more. I think there are more Duke haters and Duke supporters out there.
Ah, well, you know how it is. When you win, you always draw that kind of, crop.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
And that's just the way things kind of roll. But, yeah, I'm actually to the point where I enjoy the NBA offseason more than I actually enjoy the NBA season.
You like all those machinations that go on during the offseason, all the different things behind the scenes. But then when the season starts, it's too boring to watch.
Yeah, I mean, the games suck. What are you watching? You're watching guys chuck up 3-pointers and dunk. Nobody plays defense. There's ball movement. Nothing really interesting happens unless you get an exciting dunk. Otherwise the games are terrible.
Yeah, and I miss the games, the playoff games, when they were closely contested and there was defense, and both teams scored under 100 points. Maybe one of 94-88, 94-91. That's a legitimate game with defense, but you don't see it anymore. Not even in the finals.
No, and if it's not this year, I think you and I both know it's coming soon. Sooner or later in the All-Star game, one of the teams is going to score 200 points.
Well, I keep saying that, and it's going to happen.
So,
they've only, what, about 10 or 15 points away.
Yeah, well, I think maybe 30. I think it was 1-6. Last year, 2 years ago, so they're getting close.
Yeah.
Won't
that be a joke? So who watches the All-Star game anyway?
Yeah, I'm sure there are people out there who actually do tune into it. I don't know who or what, but while we're talking about drafts, I don't know if you actually know this, but the NHL draft is tonight, the first round.
Yes,
it'll be televised on the NBC Sports Network. And locally, the Chicago Blackhawks, for us here, Stu and I, have the third pick. It seems like I've actually read a couple mock drafts, so I just kind of see what was going on. It looks like apparently Jack Hughes seems to be the consensus number one. I know nothing about him, except it says here that he plays on the U.S. National Under-18 team.
Right.
The second pick, that the Devils have the first pick. The second pick is owned by the Rangers, who are, I've seen 3 mock drafts, and they have this guy's name on all of them. He is Kakko, K-A-A-P-O, Kakko, K-A-K-K-O. He's a left winger out of TPS Turku, which is the Liiga league. I believe that's Finland. The Blackhawks, on the other hand, I've seen 3 mock drafts, and I've seen 3 different picks. So I don't know what's going on when the Hawks get there. Like this one I have, they're taking a defenseman named Bowen Byram from the Vancouver Giants in the WHL. The other one I saw had them taking Alex Turcotte, who's a center on the U.S. National Under-18 team. And then the third one I believe I saw them taking Victor Soderstrom, who's a defenseman from Brynäs in the SHL.
Yeah, I didn't
so
see
that.
I saw the first two names you mentioned. Yeah, the first two names, I think, are the two consensus picks for the Bulls, either Blackhawks, Bryan or Turcotte. Now, one of them may be NHL-ready. The other one, I think, maybe a year or two away. So I'm not sure how that plays into the consideration of who they ultimately pick.
Yeah, and I can tell you, honestly, I know absolutely nothing about any of these guys. So I don't know if they're ready. They're gonna be good. They're gonna be bad. The only thing that caught my eye was there's a guy named Dylan Cozens in this draft, and I honestly thought he was an outfielder in the Phillies minor league system. So I doubt it's the same guy. Probably just the same name, but one of those things. So we'll see. But yeah, if you're interested, the NBC Sports Network is covering it. Showing the first round live. I believe that is tonight. And then they kind of like the NFL draft, rounds 2 through 7 are on the NHL Network, which thanks to AT&T I don't get, starting at noon tomorrow.
Well, it doesn't seem like the NHL draft will hold as much interest as the one last night in the NBA. it never seems to have the same impact.
Yeah, well, you know, and I think part of the problem is the fact that, you know, like you said, you know, if the Blackhawks draft a guy who we're not going to see for 2 years, yeah, it's going to be like, okay, well, great. So, there's not that instant gratification. Like, everybody drafted in the NBA draft is going to have a chance to make the team, and we'll see him, you know, we'll see him play. You know, hockey,
yeah,
like baseball, we go to the minors. We, you know, we may not see him for a couple years, you know, and in baseball terms, sometimes 4 or 5.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And if I think Turcotte, wasn't he the center that they're kind of thinking might be something on a level, eventually on a skill level as Jonathan Toews? And the other
yes.
one was a defenseman,
yeah.
the first one you mentioned, right?
Yeah, Byram is a defenseman,
Brian,
yeah, and Turcotte is a center. So we'll see where, you know, how they go or how it works out. I'll probably turn it on to see who they pick and then, you know, go away because, like I said, I don't know diddly squat about any of these guys. So, you know.
Yeah, the third name you mentioned, I hadn't heard about at all. I was always thought it was between those first two ones that you mentioned were kind of the consensus
yeah.
for the Blackhawks. But maybe they'll prove us wrong.
Yeah, I was just cruising, you know, random mock drafts, and I happened to hit on this one, and I was like, oh, okay, I don't know this guy either, but, you know, it seems like he's farther down in the other mock drafts I've seen, so I don't know if maybe it would be a reach for the Blackhawks to take him at 3, but, we'll see how it goes.
Well, we all know the Blackhawks are silly, you need a defenseman.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of wondering. It seems like the defenseman would be a better pick for them. That's, a big, big weakness. But, I guess if you just continue to get offense, you can be the
right.
Yankees of the NHL. Just beat everybody to death.
Yeah, and supposedly Brian is NHL-ready right now, so maybe that'll be their selection tonight. We'll have to wait for another couple more hours. Well, I guess we'll probably find out. I don't know. 2 hours, less than 2 hours, the third pick should be in by then.
Yeah, you would think. I don't know the actual. Oh, I believe it's a 7 o'clock start time tonight.
Right. That's correct.
I think 10 minutes per round. So you figure by 10 minutes per pick. So by 7:30, we should know, you know, who the Blackhawks are taking, and then I can get on with my Friday night adventures.
Right. Don't forget to make your selections in your baseball. I hope you made your selections for tonight.
Yeah, I'm all set. I've had some pretty good luck with FanDuel, so I'm hoping it continues. I've managed to picked up $8 on Wednesday and $2 last night, and I'm riding the Chris Sale train against Toronto tonight looking for double-digit strikeouts and a win because he was a little pricey, so I had to kind of build my lineup around him. So I need him to carry me and give me like a 50 or 60 point night and have somebody else step up, but we'll see how it goes.
Well, I'm glad you didn't pick you Darvish today.
No. Well, that wasn't part of the deal, so I was okay. But while we're on there, some of the big news, Oakland A's starting pitcher and actually former White Sox prospect, Frankie Montas gets hit with an 80-game suspension today. Obviously, you get 80 games for testing positive for a banned performance-enhancing substance. He tested positive for Osterine, is what Mr. Montas was apparently taking. Now, not only does he get hit with the 80 games, remember, he cannot participate in the playoffs either.
No, 80 games will probably take him right through to the end of the season.
So, yeah, you figure it's got to be really close, right? I mean, what are they? Let me get a check here and see what the A's record is. But yeah, it's and he was having a really good year for them. I believe he was 9-2 with an ERA under 3. So, you know, that's definitely going to be a tough guy to replace in the rotation. They played 76 games. So,
well, that would take him to the rest of the season, virtually the rest of the season.
Yeah, he'll be back with what, about a, you know, around the 150 game mark. So, you know, maybe he'll be there to help them get into the playoffs. But then, you know, you got to wonder after being out all this time if he'll actually be useful for anything. So we'll, yeah, you know, we'll have to see how that works out. But Osterine, and I'm hoping I am pronouncing this right, is a popular, what they call SARM. I'm not sure what that stands for, but it is used to increase muscle mass. So that's what Montas tested positive for. I haven't heard his excuse yet. You know, we always have these guys that are like, oh, well, you know, I didn't know I was taking it or blah, blah, blah. So, we'll have to see, but.
Well, he didn't know he'd be caught. I guess that's the most valid excuse. I didn't think they'd catch me. I thought this couldn't be caught.
Yeah, it would be nice if a guy actually just came out and said that one time, wouldn't it? You know, well,
yeah.
I didn't think I was going to get caught. I figured, what the hell? But, yeah, it's always kind of the, well, I didn't know they were going to test me for it.
Yeah, that's too bad. And you would think that these guys by now would play it straight and not taking any PEDs, but there's always going to be one or two exceptions, I guess, every season.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, there's always going to be that guy, you know. Maybe he's in the last year of his deal. He's looking for a big contract, or in Barry Bonds' case, he wanted to break all the records. So, you know, there's always going to be those guys, and, they're going to try to, get past the system or however it works.
Yeah. It's becoming more and more difficult for them to get through with the stringent testing and the more sophisticated laboratories and techniques available to catch these things. And,
yeah.
You know, like you said, I think this guy is going to be, 80 games. He's not going to be in any kind of shape for the rest of the playoffs, even if they make it into the playoffs as a wild card.
Yeah, we'll have to see if, he can get back and be of any help or however it works out. But, the other baseball story, and I'm not quite sure how much of this is actually coming from the team or if it's just reporters trying to make a story, because, they like to do that, especially when it comes to trades. Everybody apparently seems to be on the Max Scherzer to the Yankees bandwagon. Now, there was actually a person in the Nationals organization who told him there was no chance this was going to happen. Even if general manager Mike Rizzo wanted to do it, ownership wouldn't let him. And the quote says they want Scherzer to be their first Hall of Famer. If you remember last year, the Nationals actually had an agreement with the Astros to send Bryce Harper there. You know, imagine how that may have changed the playoff landscape. And the ownership shot it down because they wanted an opportunity to re-sign him. You know, Scherzer still has a couple more years on his contract. I don't see him going, but why do these guys continue to stuff it down our throat that everybody goes to the Yankees?
Well, the Yankees have been known to do that, and they're the best team the money can buy, and they do seem to make some kind of costly acquisitions, and I guess they don't really care that they go over the salary cap, the luxury tax.
Well, no, but they're very good about staying under it.
Yeah, but not if they get Scherzer.
No, yeah, he would add quite a bit of money to it, but they could always make the adjustments after the 1 year. And with all the other pitchers out there that are actually going to be available, obviously Scherzer is probably the best of all of them, but why try to get this dog to hunt? And I mean, all it's going to be from now until July 31st is Scherzer's going to the Yankees, no matter what anybody says. It ends up to the point where if I ever run into these writers, I just want to punch him in the face, because basically you're just making up stories. They'll say, "Well, I heard it from this inside source." No, you didn't. You just needed to write the story.
you can always put that from an allegedly reliable source, then you're covered.
You know, I mean, that would be like you telling me something, and then I go on and say, well, I heard it from a reliable source.
That's right, that's right. I did hear one name bandied about, not necessarily going to the Yankees, but being peddled eventually would be Bumgarner.
Yeah. Yeah, you figure he's got to go. He's in the last year of his deal. With the position the Giants are in, I doubt there's very little chance of him re-signing with him. But the funny thing, he has a limited no-trade clause, and apparently his no-team trades are the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Indians, the Astros in the American League. In the National League, it's the Dodgers, the Cubs, Cardinals, and Brewers. And then I believe it's the Phillies and the Nationals. So almost every former or contender right now is on his list. And I'm just kind of thinking maybe this was smart by his agent to get a big payday to waive the no-trade clause?
You would think so, yeah.
You know, because you got to figure those are the majority of the teams that are going to be going after him. You know, I know he's had his struggles as of late. He didn't have a very good outing last night either. So, you know, the Giants better hope if they're going to get something decent for him that he kind of gets rolling. You know, he's got about a month here to kind of pick it up. But, yeah, he hasn't been very good.
No, I'm wondering if that's going to diminish the possibility of them getting some kind of value in return.
Yeah, well, you figure it's got to, you know, besides the fact that he's just on a one-year deal, so, you know, you're not going to get a ton for him anyways, you know, and then the fact that he's just had, you know, he had the strange injury issues. I don't think that's such a big deal, but I want to get his game log here and kind of check it out. Yeah, last night he lasted just 3 2/3. Now, it was against the Dodgers. 10 hits, 6 runs. He gave up a couple home runs. But, yeah, even, you know, like the game before, it was 6 innings. He gave up 5 runs. A couple games before that, it was six innings. He gave up 3 runs. So 3 out of his last 4 starts haven't been really good. So, yeah, sooner or later, you just kind of start to question about, you know, what's actually the value. I mean, he's 3-7. I know the record doesn't matter anymore, but he's got a 4.28 ERA.
Yeah, he's not done well for this season, that's for sure. But there doesn't appear to be any physical issues with him at the moment.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't seem like it, but I do almost wonder at this point if you're reaching out to the Giants, you ask about Jeff Samardzija. You know, I know he's got that extra year on his contract, but if you could get them to pick up a bunch of money and you're just adding them in the back of your rotation, I mean, he's got a 3.69 ERA in his 14 starts. He's been the best starter on their staff. So,
yeah.
I just wonder if, you know, maybe he's the guy you're calling on.
Yeah, he's been a pretty durable pitcher over the course of his major league career, although I've never been completely sold in him yet as a stopper you wouldn't need to when the big game comes up.
No, but, you know, if you've got him as your fourth or your fifth starter, that's not a bad weapon to have back there.
No, it's true.
He's obviously they've got gigantic bullpen pieces that any team would want. You know, guys like Will Smith, Sam Dyson, Mark Melanson, and Tony Watson, I think any contender would have some kind of interest in. So I really think that's where they could make hay if they want to rebuild. I'm kind of sitting here thinking, you know, we've seen the Encarnacion trade already with just the one deadline, and it's, you know, about 40 days away. Why wait? You know, I mean, you're in the cellar, you're 31-42, you're not going anywhere. Start shaking the trees and see who's looking for your guys.
You would think that that would be the case because they're going to be winding up in the last place this season. as they are right now, and nothing's going to change that. And they might as well go into a total rebuild mode, and maybe if they can get enough, two or three years down the line, maybe they could become a contender in the NL West. Although it's always tough to when the Dodgers are in your division.
Yeah, the Dodgers, who not only have the best record in baseball, but also have one of the best farm systems, just keep kind of – of course, you know, the Giants did hire one of the Dodgers' front office people. You know, they brought in that Farhan Saidi to run the team. So, you know, maybe you know, I don't know. I mean, he's a little too much of an analytic guy for me, but we'll see.
Yeah, but I definitely think they're going to make some moves before the July 31st. Is this year July 31st deadline?
And that's it. No waiver deals anymore. It's July 31st, and that is the end of it. So.
But you've seen some deals go through, even when you think that someone would block a deal and the waiver deal, somehow they could manage to get it through anyway.
Well, they can't now. There are no more waivers. It's completely eliminated.
Right, but they can still make a deal.
No, after July 31st, they can.
They cannot make any kind of a deal.
Nope, that's the end of the trading deadline. There's no other, you know, no other way to get guys through or to another team. That's what they decided this offseason, because everybody hated the waiver process and everything that went with it. So, you know, once August 1st comes around, your team is your team.
Well, that's going to change things quite a bit as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was that stringent, because there always, in years past, seem to have been some significant deals made towards the end of the season.
So, yeah, it definitely will be, you know, will be interesting to see how teams adjust to this and how they make their moves. But, yeah, it's definitely a you know, a new era, so to speak, with this, because, you know, yeah, you just can't go, oh, okay, well, we'll just wait to see who gets through waivers. Not anymore.
No, so July will be very important then for the contending teams.
Yeah. You know, and that's the tough part with, you know, the way the standings are right now. You know, there's a lot of teams that are contenders, you know, even for wild card spots. So, it could these teams looking to deal guys could really make some hay just because of so many teams still being in the race. And, you know, I think that's a really good thing for baseball.
It's interesting. And, of course, I think a couple of division races are pretty well set already. We know that no one's going to beat the Dodgers in the NL. West, and no one's going to beat Houston in the AL West or the Twins in the AL East, but there's still those, as you pointed out, the wild cards to contend with. So at least they have a chance there that way.
You know, and, you know, there are some interesting teams. Like, I don't think anybody had any idea that Texas would be hanging around. You know, so they're going to have to make that decision. Are we a contender? Do we make a move? You know, those kind of things. I mean, technically, the White Sox are even still right there. They're only three games out of a wild card spot. I don't see them making a move this year, but, you know, it looks good for their future at least.
Yeah. And Texas certainly has been one of the surprise teams in the majors this year, along with the Twins.
So, yeah, it will definitely make for some interesting – you know, interesting trade fodder. But all right, well, look at that. I guess we get to go. All right, well, soon we'll take off. So have a nice weekend. I'll be back today. A lot of things I'm going to do. Head over to sportsradio.com. Look for the blog post and upload. If you want to follow over to the link, follow it over to the Facebook. Stop by and give it a like. Of course, don't forget to put it in the right sportsradio. If you want to follow over to the Facebook channel as well, I'm going to talk about it. If you need to get a message to do, go ahead and send it out to me, and I will gladly forward it along. As always, if you want to go to the live, thank you for being on the daily show today. If you didn't, and you still want to listen, head over to